Morning, Sarah. We're glad to have you, but would you yourselves tell who you are?
I'm Admiral Hartman, Executive Vice President, Sand Agency Incorporated.
Tom?
I'm Tom Gibson, representing Governor Reagan's office.
I'm Chief Deputy Kanagi with the San Diego Sheriff's Office, representing Sheriff O'Connor.
Kermit White, President of the San Diego County Council of Churches.
Ben Keller, Lieutenant.
Go right around.
Harry Atkinson, City Recreation.
Bob Regan, Chandelier.
And Admiral Marston, San Diego Incorporated. And Lehman, San Diego Management Council.
I'm Carol Wayman, so the rest of us now can start over here with Glenn. I'm Carol Wayman from the CIC.
Glenn Allison, Community Welfare Council. Glenn Copeland, County Welfare.
John Johnson, San Diego Urban League.
Joe Vincent, San Diego Black Conference.
John Billings, Neighborhood House.
Bill Collender, San Diego Police Department.
Mike Amador, Harbor Area Community Action Council.
City Community Relations Department.
Joe McGuire, CIC.
Bill Gore, San Diego.
Rosemary Lang, CIC.
I'm Tom Johnson, 6-2.
Don Phillips, Department of Employment.
Jack Cass, Economic Opportunity Commission.
Don Shaw.
Fred Martin.
We're glad to have the rest of you who are here for the first time. There are others who should come in. We're waiting for word from one or two others. Would you introduce yourself, please, sir, and tell us who, what you're representing this morning?
Yes, my name's Bob Jewell, and I came in here as a spectator.
Okay. Okay. The minutes. Joe, would you now pass out the minutes again for those who do not have the minutes for September 29?
I've seen a lot of guys.
Does everyone have the minutes for the 29? Are any of the people have a complete set? Does everyone have a complete set of back minutes?
September 29 meeting at this point. Glenn does not have. Good, Glenn. Take that copy. So we take 5 minutes only today and look at the minutes, get some reaction to the minutes. Again, we're having difficulty in trying to get the mechanics of getting the minutes out early enough to everybody, but we did better this time. We hope to have it worked out completely by the next meeting. Would you take time, please, and read the minutes for September 29 and get some reactions? Reaction to them.
accepted, and I want to commend whoever took them for the accuracy and extensiveness of them.
In addition to moving that they be accepted, John wants to commend Mayor Thielen, Secretary Dagny, and Bill McGuire, who go through all of this work each week, for doing an accurate and comprehensive job. Is there a second?
Second.
Been moved, seconded that the minutes be accepted. Questions? On readiness? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Carried. May I take a minute if you will to review one or two things in the minutes, setting the stage for today's meeting. On page 5 of a minute, yes, you will notice at the bottom that for today's meeting we were to continue using the model for perceiving and testing the perception of a common problem without going into specific problems as such. Using the model illustration as the tester for the different perception. On page 6, we also talked about continuing using the model in general for general topic areas and the perceptual differential until we have arrived at how to apply the solutions or resolve the conflict and then go into specific problems. It was agreed that with this in mind we would use today, the topic for today would be that of the San Diego Transit Company. Again, not in terms of what problems the transit company faces, nor, for that matter, how the different communities perceive those problems that may be faced by the transit company, such as maybe extending services, changing routing patterns, or hiring of additional employees. These are not the things per se that we were going to talk about, but use this as an example of a common problem in the community, perceived on the one hand by what we've called the minority community, and as perceived or versus that of how it's perceived by the majority community. So we shall continue today then to explore differential perception, how different groups see different problems, which in the final analysis, of course, will lead to different kinds of solutions. And we're here to try to create the atmosphere in which we can dialogue and talk before an action is taken to fully understand the differences which exist in perceptions of problems. Before we go to the board and start on the transit company, are there reactions from the last meeting? Our reactions on what we talked about the last time in terms of differential perception, which was the green card holder. Glenn.
Well, the one thing which seemed to me clear last time, I think, was also obtained to whatever problem we're discussing. And that is, I think there is still lack of a popular, so to speak, available correct information. I think what did become apparent was there's a great deal of misinformation and misperception, which I don't think basically got cleared up here, and I don't think this is the place for it. But I think it did point up the need for people to have correct information, at least start with an equal factual basis in which then to disagree or to distort, but not, it seems to me, to begin with total misinformation or misunderstanding with no corrective. And my thought would be that in all these we need to begin to develop somewhere the straight folk. What is it about, in the case of the green cards, where is the straight information about that? In the case of the transit, where is the straight information about that? And whatever we approach is that we've got some factual basis in which to go.
Excellent observation, Joe.
In regard to the little chart on the back page, which gives the minority and majority perception, it's important at this point that we go back and look at this thing and to a certain degree analyze what is really going on. Because when the majority comes up with a definition of something that would, that has appeared in the paper, then this is part of their experience. This comes from their experience, the experience that they had in this or any other community which they've lived. Now, this goes equally as well for the minority. Now, this is to say that we owe our existence to the context out of which we come. And if this tends to be racially oriented, if this tends to point towards racism, then this would infer that the context from which we all come is racially oriented, and it's important that we see it from this point.
I think that's an excellent observation also. Other observations on that? Yes, Mike?
Well, if you could just run through this a little bit and maybe explain some of it, because one of the persons was just glancing through this in my office, and he says, well, what's this major lack of ambition or what?
Yes.
That would be all right, too, to maybe orient him a little bit on this here.
All right. We got all three observations. I think then we can review the chart on the back page from the last meeting in order to lead into what we want to do today. So does everyone have in front of him the chart now? This is, we used last time the green card holder as an example only. We could have used marble shooting, cutting out paper dolls, dancing. It just wouldn't have mattered. This is an example of something, perception, as opposed to the problem as such. Looking at it then, if we review, if you might recall with me, and help me as we go along, we had on the board the minority perception as shown here versus the majority perception. We took as our lead that day the article in the paper, and there had been some other articles in the past few weeks. What we did was to try to get reactions from the minorities in the community, as well as majority here, of how the minority perceived the whole issue that was being discussed in the papers and on TV, etc., and the majority. We listed these on the board here, so number one on the minority indicated that regardless of the validity or the lack of the validity of articles or coverage, the minorities felt that what was being said and thus perceived by the majority was essentially a perpetuation of the stereotype of them. We discussed, if you recall, what this meant in terms of, for example, it was felt that most in the majority, and many in minority for that matter, had the incorrect information and therefore felt that all green card holders were Mexican Americans first, and that all of these green card holders were those who were coming across the border each day to another stereotype, that they came across the border specifically to take away other Americans' jobs, stereotype, and that these were the ones who were also on the rolls of the welfare. We went through this to say that while this is incorrect information, obviously, it is nevertheless that which is perceived by many in the community. That's a minority perception of what this meant to the minority community. On the other hand, the majority perception, as expressed, indicated that many thought that a permit was necessary, for example, to get into the community, and that these Mexican Americans or green card holders were really here in terms of being permitted to be here, and they were letting down their responsibility, or their sponsors were, if they did not measure up to some kind of standard in terms of responsibility that would not let them be on the roll. Any other recollections on that one? Myths and stereotypes about it, right?
Well, this is what I've noticed, is that here we can be in the same meeting and the press can be sitting right here with us. We're interpreted one way, and yet when we read it on the newspaper, well, that isn't the way it is at all. So,
you mean even in reporting this meeting?
Even if they're reporting this meeting.
In this meeting.
They might leave something out that's really important, that we think is important. And yet for them, what they think is important, they write up themselves.
All right. Where's the other press today? They're individuals. I don't care who the individual would be sitting there, whether he'd be a minority person or majority.
Right.
He would still interpret it in his own way, and to say that he didn't get all the important things is a value judgment. Comments? Others? Reactions to that? Specifically to that point? Joe?
To go back to this thing, here he's an individual, but he's an individual within his context, and if his context happened to be white, then he has a white opinion of what is going on, just as Mr. Amador spoke from a point of a minority, because he feels that, and that is his context, he relates to the rest of the society in that manner.
I think Joe is still saying essentially the same thing, that while true that we're all individuals, what we're really aiming at is to be able to change our frame of reference at times and maybe present it so that each reading it has something in common with that frame of reference. Paraphrasing a little, Joe? Yes, Jack.
I think here we, because we are individuals and coming from different experiences and backgrounds, we have different perceptions of the same problem. When Glenn brought the question of how the press reports the problem, seems to me that maybe at some point this group ought to invite publisher representatives and the television people, the people who are in the policy-making role, to discuss the problems that they have in reporting news, the kinds of public they have to deal with, the kinds of advertisers who they have to work with. It makes some difference in how materials are reported to the public. And there are differences in the attitudes of the papers themselves. The New York Times is a very different paper from the LA Times, from the San Diego Union. And yet these are the channels through which the public is getting the information that finally determines how they feel and ultimately determines the kinds of public policies that become acceptable in the whole country.
Excellent. Any other observations? I think that's very important because we're still hitting upon the perceptions as defined really by the context in which the person, including the advertisers, including the press, including the different populations and ordinances that he writes for.
Well, for example, I think a working reporter may pick up things, but then eventually this is edited by a city editor who is responding maybe to a publisher, so that all of this has something to do with what ultimately gets said to the public. And it depends upon the issues that are being taken up. Some are highly charged emotional issues, others are limited consequence. But when we're talking about race relations, I think because it is such a significant thing in our time, it's terribly important that the public gets the information as it is, you know, presented, the facts, as factually as one can present the information.
Yes. Are you taking notes today, Dagny, or are you getting it all on tape?
A little bit of both.
We'll pick up that point later and see where we can go with what comes out of this in that regard, Jack. Following the chart now reviewing, are there other reactions or observations that someone would like to make with regard to the meeting 2 weeks ago on the chart? On number 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, etc. I think Mike pointed out an interesting, significant observation by someone in his office. Looking at this, unless one has some understanding of what it means, I suppose he, almost everyone, would be in a dilemma. So some of the things that came out still following on the minority perception side were that this meant that minorities felt that they were non-Americans by some of the implications in some of the articles. That is, they would be perceived as non-Americans by the majority, according to the way the press reported it, or the way that the ideas are disseminated in the community regarding the green card holders. It also meant, in many instances, that the community at large would be getting information to lead them to conclude that the Mexican Americans, the green card holders, were lazy or they lacked ambition. Certainly it would mean that they were invisible in the community. That is, they did not exist except when a specific issue came up, such as the green card holders. Number 7 I thought was important, too, because it indicated, as came out last meeting, that the green card holders really were people from all foreign countries, or many foreign countries, or maybe from any foreign country, not just, of course, from across the border, but that those who were in control of the community structure, it may be related to status, or may be related to those who hold the power or the money class, and therefore the other side of the picture may not be presented, and thus the stereotype in the community at large may be again perpetuated. The other reactions, of course, followed on the majority side. Definitions of minorities, their invisibility. It was also mentioned, number 5, that many of the opinions in the community may be that those who were the sponsors of the Mexican Americans or the green card holders were letting down on their responsibility. Whether it's valid or not is not what we're talking about. But this may be one of the feelings, perceptions in the majority community. It was also pointed out at that time that many of the sponsors, however, or Negro or other Mexican American, or maybe of any ethnic identity as well. All these then tend to becloud the problem and not give the facts except those facts which are perceived by each group, and those become the facts whether or not they represent what is actually the situation with regard to any given issue. Glenn.
I just have one other observation from last meeting, and I don't know what it is except the feeling of uneasiness that I heard, I think, before we finished last time, a number of people voice concern that we move beyond the model. That is, that the model that you've devised is important for us to have a way of looking at a problem and understanding for our own mutual edification, but that there has to be some payoff beyond that. That if it's just eventually in our own coming together about an issue, briefly learning that one of the things that we know anyway, but in more specific terms, that is, we all know that people see things in a kind of distorted way. They see it out of their own background, and in the area where it has to do with minorities, that in general, what winds up being mostly published is the majority view. But beyond that, it seems to me that I thought I heard a lot of restlessness last time of saying that we've got to also move in the direction of something specific and something concrete to begin to remedy these things. But just talking about it's not enough. And if it's just going to be just talk, there are going to be those who are simply going to be disenchanted and feel that it's more of the same to stall for time and that nothing is going to be done, which is not to say that I'm pushing this in the direction of an action group, but simply being mindful that there's going to have to be some payoff for the dialogue. And I think this is just as true in the city trans as the next one we move on to. So that I hope we begin to get to that particular point. As I've mentioned in the case of the green card, one such might be that it's really regarded as an area of sufficient concern that somebody, and I don't know whether that is the press or if that's their responsibility coming out of these meetings, or the city out of Mr. Julian or whoever, Julian Wise or whoever, that we need to begin to say that things change as a result of these dialogues, that information does get disseminated, that it gets in a concrete kind of package so that you can get a hold of this issue. So I'm saying that I think we have to use the model to be able to understand the problem, but there's a step beyond that. We moved to the first step. The first step was that we had to come to an agreement. There's a real problem here. It's an honest-to-God issue that can't be unilaterally defined by one group. That if you're going to ask the minorities to participate, you're going to have to take in part at least their definition of the problem. And they've defined it pretty clearly, and although we had some rounds about it, I think we finally reached some accord that there was a major racist element that needed somehow to be dealt with or confronted. That made the basis for the dialogues to continue. We've now moved on to creation of a way of being able to catch on to any specific problems, understand it in general specific terms, but I'm saying there's a step beyond that. I don't know what point it comes, but I have a feeling that if we continue to go on this way, we're going to have more and more problems in engaging and in keeping the people who are going to make a difference.
Other reactions on that point, which was discussed last week, and I sense as Glenn does, or did, the same rhetoric. If not, let's look at it then and see if we can, as on page 6 here, spend about 15 or 20 minutes eliciting minority and majority reactions and then go on to the process, as fell out on page 6, go on to the process by which problems are solved in terms of recognition of the differences which exist and in terms of how do you use this model to get some action. Each of you also received, I think, a worksheet copy of the model that you can keep and bring each time. Did we get those out? May I see, this? I simply kept it over here so we can refer to it here on the board, but this is essentially a good working model, I think. We're going to use then the differential perception model here. Let's put it over here where we can all know what we're referring to begin to test and do some of the things it says down here. Now, number one and two, as we mentioned last week, number one and two have been done. That is, defining perceptual differences, testing minority reactions to specific issues, and testing majority reactions to the same issues. That's number one, two, and three. In this area here, the common problem today is the San Diego Transit Company, or City Transit Company. We're going to now take a few minutes out and get some reactions, how they are perceived by the minority, the majority, and then move on from there and talk about how do you get some actions and what kind of action program should follow this, as has been observed this morning. It is open now for different kinds of reactions in any way you see it. I don't want to structure it at all. We're talking about the transit company. We want some reactions as perceived by minorities and some reactions as perceived by the majority. It doesn't matter what your perception is or your reaction. Good company, bad company, should be deleted, should be built up, should be expanded. It's a good service company. Doesn't matter. Whatever you think, the way minorities perceive transit company versus the majority.
Sure.
First one, Jack.
Just a kind of a general observation. I think that this is one where you have that dimension, but another one which is equally important, if not more so, is whether the person's an old person, whether it's a person who is has very little money or a great deal of money, whether they're using public transportation or not using it. And as I look around the group here, it might be very hard to project what people like a 60-year-old person living on Social Security feels about public transportation, because none of us are precisely in that position. In fact, I would suspect that very few of us are consumers public transportation, and yet we're going to try to decide here what people feel about it. And this is one of the problems, I think, in any kind of development of a public policy, is so often the consumers of the ultimate consumers of the product, in this case public transportation, are not the ones who really have an opportunity to say what they think about public transportation, its strengths or its weaknesses.
We do have a concrete example to go on, though, and that is the fact that rates have been lowered. So we can assume that the consumers are going to be somewhat favorably impressed by the fact that the rates have been lowered. So I would say that one of the majority opinions would be improvement of service.
John?
Yes, I would like to take this back a little bit because I think we may even be getting off the point right now. Jack added a dimension which is common to any situation in terms of refinement. We are talking about this in terms of trying to conceptualize it in terms of how it affects a particular segment of the community, which happens to be minority, and not the minority agent, because there are minorities in all of those groups too. But that we are trying to conceptualize, for instance, there was some concern about the commissioners for the transit system, how they were chosen, and how minorities, again, was left out, had remained invisible. And there's another concern, of course, about the bus drivers, the lack of minority bus drivers. And this, I don't think we should see the problem as the more refined one of just problems that will face the community in terms of transit, but as it relates to the minority only.
Carol?
Yes.
Because we were attempting to develop an overlay that we could use on any system, marbles or dancing, can we begin with seeing what item on the former chart can also apply on this chart and then further develop it? For instance, you have the invisibility where this type of thing seems to come crop up as a problem. Can we look at what we did have in terms of developing this particular chart?
I think we can, and I suspect that what John just said is, as you pointed out, another example. Or is this sufficient, John, to capture what you were saying?
Yes, if we can remember them.
Okay, then. We did have invisibilities number 4 on this one. Mm-hmm. So I think if we can keep what Joe mentioned in mind as we go along, we can begin to develop this, call it an overlay, so that we can simply say maybe this set of characteristics is characteristic of the different ways, the two ways here as we have dichotomized it. Rosemary.
Carol, then in doing this, it seems to me that one, you have invisibility, and under one, you have A, drivers, B, commissions.
I would agree.
And you have the problem and then the different areas in which you deal.
I think John mentioned another one. What was the other one, John?
The commissioners.
Commissioners. Commissioners. Oh, shall we say officials? A board in this case.
Board.
Because all groups won't have commissioners. So if I may change that to get into a category, I will put board.
And appointed board.
Drivers for the employees.
Appointed
board.
Are you putting, are you taking these down?
Yeah, we're ready.
Would you put appointed, spell appointed out there, please?
And then make drivers employees.
Yes, that would be good to give it up. John only mentioned drivers. Are you including the whole category of employees?
Okay. Management and all.
Right. Okay, then we will put employment or employees.
Right.
And keep it at that for the time being. Glenn?
But I think it is terribly important if you're going to deal with the problem of invisibility that one of the things you do is that you put people at the point of high visibility, which is why the word driver appears, because for many people, their total transportation system is the driver of the bus in which they're riding. And it may well be that you've got plenty of mechanics and a lot of people washing the buses, and they may be making change in the office and nobody sees them. But
I wonder if that could come in another category. Could you give us how you could, such as distribution or frontline or contact people. I think John's point of driver too is significant as a class.
I think so too. And what I heard him saying after that is that
It is not simply to put drivers at this particular point, but to recognize that minorities can fill every single slot in the total organization. That is, that, you know, that they are or should be considered of equal weight when you devise how you run the bus system. You just don't say we put them at drivers or here or there, but they'd be throughout because they're able to do it.
Well, add management, perhaps you get all three dimensions.
Yes?
Well, maybe two then, getting into what Glenn says, too, also a different category would be a perpetuation of society's perception of the minority role. So if you found where you have minorities, and if in this company you always have them as the grease monkeys, as the car wash, and this type thing, your next overlay might be restaurant people. We might take a particular restaurant in a particular area and find that their society's perception for the role of minorities is that we always have them as busboys, we always have them in special uniforms doing menial tasks, but not up here. And with each category, you could probably pretty well see where society perceives the minority.
Well, now that is the majority.
Well, where the majority...
Perception, not a minority. Or it could be both.
Well, it could be both.
Could be both.
Carol, because of my...
But it's definitely a majority perception.
Would someone give me that the way you see it, then, to put on the board?
Under employees, you would have public and supporters. Employees, your bus drivers are the ones in contact with the public. Your supporting ones are the grease monkeys, the washers, and what have you. In the restaurant, your host, maitre d', what have you, waiters and waitresses are the public. The people washing the dishes, doing the kitchen work and this type, again, are your supporting. So it seems like public and supporting would be.
I want to put your first one a minute ago was the improvement of services. I want to put that up. Give me that as a majority, Glenn, of perception then, what you two are really talking about.
Under employees, I would say first improvement of services.
Right.
Then employees, subheading public and supporting.
Does that capture the idea? The vision? Does it say what you wanted to say? Does it say what you were trying to map?
We're going to have difficulty verbalizing a majority position here, but I suspect it might be something like the idea that qualification is the determinant of who gets jobs.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be something, the approach is going to be something like that. Now,
right.
I don't want to speak for somebody else, but I imagine the typical majority group member in San Diego who looks at employment for the bus company and who will be aware perhaps that no Negroes are driving buses, he'll think like, well, all that means is that none were qualified to drive, that qualification is itself somewhere confined to a category in the population.
Yeah, that's what I was trying to get at over here with this. You want to...
Yeah, and on the other side over there, you're going to have to get to some... The complaint actually is that jobs are categorized too. And it doesn't make very much difference. The employee might be in full view, and like at the airport, if he has a broom and a little pan, he's in full view all right enough. But somehow, there seems to be an assignment of jobs on the basis of categories. Justified on one side, they're not qualified. We would if we could find some. On the other side, discrimination.
Mm-hmm. You said several things. Shall we use one as assignment of jobs by race?
This is what the minority perceives. And on the other side, they perceive it as a lack of qualification.
Right.
On the other side, equal value.
Judged by racial
by category was what I said. Okay, we're still saying the same thing.
By category, thingy.
Yeah. Carol, I'm worried. I suggest that you erase that whole other side off, because no one has spoken in that regard.
I don't think so.
Glenn speaks. From an understanding that other people may not have.
Okay, well, why don't we find out?
I think you should rather. Mayor Curran indicated last week that he thought that the board members of the traffic system were appointed because they were businessmen. And so I'm just suggesting that you ought to erase that majority.
And start over again and get a majority?
Tom hit the point, but nobody said it except.
But Glenn, you want me to keep yours? He gave a majority.
Well, as I was saying, as I felt that my viewpoint may not be the typical majority viewpoint, I feel that it is not really. I was giving you these as my own viewpoint, but it may not be at all typical of the majority viewpoint.
Carol, I think that already within the group, the kinds of perceptions that are being made, again, get back to where we are, that is who we are ourselves. The minority people here have expressed concern in regard to the city transit company along the lines of do we have equal opportunity to be employees, to be in management, to be on the board that makes decisions about how this city transit company will operate. I think the majority, and I'm part of that, also minority in a different sense, but I think we look at the city transit company, at least my first reaction to it was, does this mean better service for the public? And that's a different kind of a view. And maybe the two coincide, but I think that these are really the two larger issues. And so often I think the majority community is not looking or really sensitive to the needs of the minority when it comes to this question of equal opportunity and how it's being expressed in any change of public policy. Up to this point, the city really didn't have a lot of leverage in whether people were going to have equal opportunities or not. I'm not so sure how much they have now, but maybe this is one of the issues that would make a difference in creating more opportunities for minority people to participate on all levels as far as the city transit operation is concerned.
It sounds like you are in this general area here.
Well, my point is that we just see things differently.
Okay, then I think it ought to be over here then.
Yeah, I just think that I think the majority just sees it from the point of view of service, cost, this kind of thing. I think the minority has a different perception than is being expressed here.
Better service, you're saying, and then he gave us a couple of categories like cost.
Well, I want to add one thing. It isn't mutually exclusive. I'm sure the minority also is concerned about getting enough transportation so they can get the jobs. And this has been, there's been a vacuum in services in many of these areas. But at least up to this point, the initial references were to opportunities for employment within the system.
Okay. I saw the mayor's hand a minute ago. He's never been calling.
Yeah, Carol, the exact opposite end of invisibility, I think, is the identification rather than, I'm thinking now in the absence of identification is the invisibility. And so actually the counterpart to that on the majority side, if that's where it belongs, would be identification. Because there is a counterpart, or there is a for the want of a better expression, an offsetting majority opinion in relation to the minority's reaction to those various categories you show up there. For instance, in invisibility, the employee feels as you pointed out here, the lack of opportunity and so forth. Now, on the other side, probably identification indicates the, or I would say that in the identification is the identification with a kind of employee by category that doesn't qualify for a job. This type of thing is the exact opposite of what the minority community may be thinking. Do I make myself clear? I think I kind of fuzzed that one up good, but what I'm trying to say is that the exact opposite of visibility is the identification, and so it is conceivable that somebody says, well, we don't hire this kind of people because they're not qualified, period. It's identification, justified or not, it's still an identification. They have a tendency to
may I try one as a majority perception? At least initially, my personal perception was that we had something noteworthy only because the transit company was moving out of the private sector into the public sector, and that this was a recognition of the importance of public transportation to the welfare of all of us. And in my initial perception, I didn't even connect this with a minority racial having any relationship at all. I only thought of it in terms of this, it moves out of a private corporation into the public responsibility because the public needs better service. But I'm repeating, initially I didn't even connect it with the possibility that this would have importance in the minority community on jobs and other things. It just was not an issue of minority discrimination or other things.
I think that perception is part of what we really want to get down.
Right.
He was saying that it's not really to the majority. They're still, with regard to their own perception of the problem, they're not there.
No, I'm saying that in my perception there was a more important issue that we can wrestle with, and that the issue of my treatment of minorities was at the moment not apparent.
George is saying what I tried to say, but he's saying it much better. I think this is very true. I don't think it's connected in this way, but here we begin to see why it should be.
Max?
Yeah, I'm in agreement here. But when we talk, we're having a dialogue, and the dialogue is we settled the first two or three meetings that our biggest problem here is that we're in a racist sort of context.
Right.
Now, it'll be necessary that whenever we introduce a subject, that we seek to find points at which there is divergence along racial lines. Now, we all perceive of the transit company is going to be, it's better for San Diego, and it's all of these. There is agreement. There's no disagreement there. But can't we just look at some point at which we're going to disagree? And where we're going to disagree is when the Negro says they're not going to hire Negro bus drivers.
Right.
Now we got an issue where a differential perception. But we all perceive the bus company as a good thing that's going to get people to school and to church and to work.
Tom,
that.
Yeah, may I?
But you have to introduce and carefully keep yourself at the sharp cutting point of the race issue in order to see this differential perception that you're talking about.
Yeah, I'd like to take a minute out then, Jack, first, and try to follow Tom with what George back there said. He really hit part of it on the head that we didn't quite capture yet in words. He is saying that, whether we're using, I'm going to paraphrase and interpret for a minute, George, whether we use the transit company or any other issue, in the majority the perception is this is good now, this is an improvement of services, this is grand, in the general sense that as if
the quality of service were already for everybody equalized. Now, I'm just interpreting a minute, George. Now, the minority knows that already. But the minority is looking at it altogether different along racial lines to begin with, as Mac is saying. Now, over here, it was not even an issue, as George said. It never occurred to him, or he was not even aware that it might even be an issue with regard to the way the minority perceived it. That is the core of what we're really trying to say, and we haven't captured that in words yet.
Well, additionally, both what Dr. Wall and Dr. McJohn say, it seems to me that you have two categories of minority and majority perception, with the gift that a public utility is going to provide better service to the community. It would seem to me that minority people, and that's not just Negro, minority people in a long class line, lower economic levels, would react to this in terms of, yeah, better public service, but better public service for whom? Mm-hmm. That we are again going to be left out of as adequate service as is given to the majority community. So that it's not just on the employment level, which I accept. You know, I take that for granted that there's going to be discrimination perceived there. But there is also going to be discrimination perceived in terms of we are not going to get as many buses in the areas where we live running as often, as right. far out to the places where we right. need to go if we are going to get jobs.
All right. How can we capture those? We've got several ideas hanging, cutting right at the core of it. Now let's keep talking a second, and then we'll capture those, John.
Yes, and there's another point that following Donna's. I may have a little different perception because I'm sort of in the work and in the community to some degree. And what I saw the public taking this over, I said, well, that's good. However, it also points out the futility of the minority in relation to private industry, mm-hmm. that the futility of not being able to do some of the things that you might do in a public situation. Does that make sense?
Can you spell out that last one? I think we can capture.
Yes. It only points out the fact that the city took over. It gave the minority some degree of hope that there may be more inclusiveness in terms of jobs, in terms of maybe even service. But that, in terms of the private industry, we had just given up hope of getting more bus drivers, getting in the management area because it was private. And that was what I don't know about.
Grant?
Can I nail that down a little harder? Because I think it's an awfully good
point. That last point?
Yeah, the last point that John made, because I think it's important, because Tom Gibson is here from the governor's office and Captain Lehman is here. And that is that there is the thought that in these areas, the way that the problem is going to be solved is to move things over into the private sector. That is, that there are efforts made to encourage private industry to get involved in these, not only in the same way, but in a more effective way even than we can do in the public sector. And if this is perceived in this way by the minority community, that simply is a myth, that it simply doesn't work, then it seems to me that it is even more incumbent on people who hold the idea that it can work, that they be in very close touch with the minority community in every step they take to give assurance that it can be solved in the private sector. And I would agree with you that moving from a privately owned bus company to a publicly owned, at least from the point of view of the minority community, is prima facie evidence that it can't be handled in the private sector.
Then it meant added hope, but also an admission of what'd you say, John? It meant added hope. And when it was privately, the minority felt that it was hopeless.
Hopeless.
Yeah. The word futility. Yeah.
Could I come back? Because this is in part of what I was trying to talk to you. And I was trying to say that I, number one, perceived the city transit company being this issue of transfer in the public utility. And that I perceived it as having no bearing on the degree to which there would or would not be discrimination.
Yeah, we're with you on that.
But right. Now I say it's the parallel.
Right.
And right. In other words, you have to have it parallel with your number three.
In other words, I perceive this change as not having any relationship
right.
to discrimination
right.
and non-discrimination
right.
in employment
right.
and service.
Right.
What John is saying, speaking for the minority, that they perceive this as having new hope because it's public in
right.
employment, new hope in service because it's employment,
right.
where I, as a majority person, haven't even thought of it in those terms.
Good
point. Gotcha.
Yeah.
Gotcha. How does it fit it?
Mm-hmm. Very good.
Well, except that I'd like to ask a question apropos of John's view of being a reflection of the futility of hope in the private sector and added hope in the public sector. Question. Does the minority, now not taking John, who represents a particular professional view and an overall view as well, how much does this mean added hope in terms of it now being in the public sector on the part of minority people? Is it fair to say that it represents added hope, or, you know, is this a real reflection? Does the minority react in terms of the fact, oh, this is now in the public sector, this is more of an, I wish they would, because it would mean the appropriate pressure, but that's parenthetical. But is that an accurate thing to put down?
I can react from my point of view. Maybe Cam, Joe, or Rosemary, or Glenn, who worked with his, John hasn't said very much today. Mike has said more than John. John, do you think that added hope is any part of that total feeling of the minorities at this point with regard to the transit company?
I think that by and large, the minority groups perceive the public sector of our economy is one that is more concerned with the redress of their grievances or trying to equalize inequalities that have existed. To actually pinpoint and say a certain group feels that there is hope, well, I can't say that. I don't think any one of us can say that specifically, but I think we can generalize that this generally is the feeling in the minority communities.
And to add is that even the minorities in our area would always say that when they did take buses or streetcars, of course it was way back, they would always put the older type of bus in that area and the newer type, and the facilities would go to the other areas where the white folks would be.
I think one thing, Carol, is extremely important here is the fact that the people in the majority community look at the changeover and say, oh, this is good, and give it no direct connection with minority groups, whereas probably the minority groups are the people that are most affected in terms of the transit company, because poor people tend to use public transportation. Proportionately, most poor people are of minority groups. Consequently, they are the ones that are most affected by any changes.
All right. Max?
Continuing what he's saying there, I think we might as well recognize that people who are in minority groups tend to see all things in terms of the effect that it has upon them. We are much more likely to recognize and to see, even in domestic, if it doesn't exist, a racial dimension than our other people. This is a characteristic of minority states, and I don't think we can get away from that. So I don't think it's unusual that other people didn't see it, whereas we wouldn't. One of the purposes of this thing is for other people to begin to see some of the things that
you're saying then, that by definition of what we're doing, we recognize that we have to accentuate those differences so that everyone here, majority particularly, understands that the minority status in itself implies that it's likely to have this kind of perception.
May I make one other observation
right.
before we get away from it? And that is that I tend to agree with what's being said here about the feeling that people in the minority groups have about things will be better now that the government has it or something of the sort. And you must recognize that these attitudes develop during a time, over a long period of time, when private business simply wasn't concerned about the problems of minorities. Now, this is a new concern, relatively new concern on the part of private enterprise. We
we don't know. I think the average man in the street has no idea how far is the industry actually going, how far is business actually going in trying to do something about the problem. So these attitudes might change. But I agree with John and the rest that up to now, private enterprise has not been concerned about minority groups in society.
No, on that number two on the majority side, Carol, it was my thought to put up identification, but you got it written identification by race, and that isn't exactly what we were talking about, because the next one belies at number three, you say no racial overtone. I think I'm going back and agreeing with our friend from the school that in the identification that I was thinking of, are the identification, for instance, of the problems of expanded service, identification of the selection of a board, identification of these things, specifically identified with a solution to that problem that did not take into consideration, probably did not take into consideration, the counterpart of the invisibility, which does concern the minority community. When the board, for instance, as John made reference to a little while ago, was selected, it was selected on an identification basis specifically.
In context. This is tactical. This might do it if you look at it the way it's written here. Non-discrimination, and under that, A, now this could go for all of your categories, minorities not qualified.
No, they don't even think about it.
I think when you say you're not able to identify with the system.
No, that isn't what I'm trying to say at all. I'm getting back to the counterpart of the invisibility portion. That the counterpart of the invisibility thing is identification. For instance, let's get back to the board just by way of illustration. The majority community, or at least my observations and participations in the decisions, we selected the board, identified a problem. They identified the problem as being related to what? The selection of four or five, or whatever, five I guess it is, of what they thought were the top people in the community to do this specific job. It had nothing whatsoever to do with at least in our concept, or my concept, with any ramifications. Now, on the other side of the line, the minority community views this selection of the board as being quietly unjust because it did not include some of their concepts. But that wasn't in our mind when we did.
And you still miss this point.
You're right, but he's up to number one. How would that be captured then? I don't.
What are you saying?
This is a separate one according to Glenn over here.
No.
So we put that down.
The same thing that Dr. Hall was indicated.
Actually,
all right. These people were selected not in terms of
functional efficiency.
Yeah.
The only thing they had in mind.
Yeah. Yes.
Now, that theirs was primarily a problem-solving orientation, and that nowhere in the definition of that problem was race considered at all.
All right, shall we then add, I put down selection by problem areas. That is not it yet.
No. They have a problem-solving orientation, and in their mind, race is at no point considered in the definition of that problem. Therefore, it won't appear in the solution of that problem.
Well, that part is captured here.
No. Just say it as Glenn put it, because I think we all...
And number one.
Problem-solving
right
orientation.
Right.
Or functional selection.
And race is not defined as part of that problem.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
It really is a qualification, Carol, but it's a reflection on the whole racist problem that we can't use that word qualification the way it should be used in a dictionary sense because it is charged for all of us.
Yes.
Racial overtones, and what Mayor Curran is really saying is he was using a word identification also in its pristine sense.
Right.
And he was using the word identification by qualification for the purpose of problem solving.
Right.
And we're running into difficulties here. This is the reason we're in dialogue. We're running into difficulties here because these very words don't mean the same thing anymore.
Right. Do we need B then, as I was trying to capture his talk,
Right.
problem areas only.
Right.
We need
that.
That's
right.
All right. We need this then, add another phase to it that you said. Problem solving orientation without
regard to race.
Without regard to race.
That's not good.
Does that capture it enough? Is that complete? This plus this plus this captures your whole thought?
Not exactly, but go ahead.
All right.
There needs to be discussion on it, I think.
Yeah, good. I think that's what it is. Go ahead, Mayor. I was trying to capture part of what you were saying by the problem there is only then Glenn caught the rest of it, or all of it, and captured this way, is the same thing that George, Dr. Paul was saying, plus this, and if you tie this in plus this, I think you have your thought complete. Then you also have Glenn's here when he first started out. I'm not sure I've got all of yours, though.
Put your public services four again.
Four down here?
Right. What was that better public service?
Oh,
I think
the one that we have there.
The part of one. Problem solving.
What's that?
It seems to me the better public service I was talking about is part of
that's what he was really saying.
Problem solving orientation.
They look at it how to improve the services, problem area.
Right.
But it might be able to go better.
But really,
you know, but I think I would, from the point of view of the minority community, I think they're really talking about two different problems. That is, I would think from the standpoint of the power structure, they are looking at an overall problem of better service. From the standpoint of the minority, they've always had that problem, but that always meant different service. That when you're talking about better service, it always meant better service for some areas and poorer service in other areas. And I think at best they view the change now is one of benign skepticism that perhaps that imbalance will be changed. That it's just possible there now maybe some thought.
That's the hope.
That there will be better service, that the bus lines will now run north and south instead of all east and west, that they'll run at hours when you need them and so forth. But their perception before is that this is the overall service, the overall better service is still an unequal service.
Right.
It's a discriminative service.
All right,
that's
so
the perception.
We can put
different over
here
and
over here. Here. Better and different.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Service. It meant different services to them, but better over here.
Yeah. Yeah. Linear job.
And say better for all here.
White, black, man, yeah, I guess.
If we're going to keep this parallel, it seemed to me it would be for some.
Wouldn't it help if under your number four you made the point, no, on the other side, less discrimination? In other words, on the majority side, it was just a general improvement of the total service.
Right.
But the number four on the minority side, the hope for reduced discrimination.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to add that stuff here by me, George, on the three.
All right.
Because it's hope, and then we're going to make it specific, less racial discrimination.
All right.
Since it's on this side, less discrimination.
No. Well, let's stay with the point of service now, not employment.
No, either way, wouldn't it be the same?
Okay.
I'm adding it under the three, the hopelessness. Since you're saying that is one of our specific hopes. Yes, John?
I expressed my reaction, as I think this is hard to hear tonight, regardless of whether it's majority or otherwise. My reaction when the census went public was this, that there was no longer going to be a consideration of profit or lack of profit, or lack of want in operating the transit system. I felt that we would go forward in a transit system and give better service regardless of cost. I felt also that the cost, now I don't know whether the majority of people ride buses or not. I don't. The bus happens to be where I am, but that's all. But at any rate, if more people do not ride buses than do ride buses, then the majority of these people, and the majority, are paying for a service for people who need to ride the bus, which is fine. And I think they're all doing it very, very gladly. Now, there's one further thing that I think, and I hope that it's relevant here. I go back to the Bob Dent matter, and I discussed that quite to some extent. I did not agree with that premise. I did not think Mr. Dent gave this matter a real try. I don't think. In other words, what I'm saying here is this. I would much rather ride on a bus, let's say, with a helpful, a kind, a considerate minority group than I would a surly, slovenly, unhelpful majority, if that's what we're talking. And to me, I think that this is perhaps, from what I understand the conversation, is much more general than we in this room are looking at it right now. I think that most people would. And so, if given a matter of whether they are hiring minority group drivers, if they're not, and a minority group driver is more acceptable and is a better driver by it than somebody is certainly being short-sighted. But what I'm chiefly trying to point out is I think that the acceptance of a person who is giving service, who is giving kindness to his fellow man, is a much greater thing. And I know a lot of people here won't agree.
Would you agree that what you're saying that is still part of courtesy,
that
in number one?
That is true. I just think that it should be interesting.
All right. Could I ask Mr. Keller one question? This is a very interesting and one that I was sure that many people in a majority group would look at from taking away from private sector, the free enterprise, and seeing it in terms of profit and loss only, rather than any other considerations that private industry fail in terms of making a profit and loss and providing the service, and that we were going to give, and now great numbers of people will be supporting the bus system and supporting maybe poor people who couldn't ride. In other words, he may have looked at it, and I just wanted him to elaborate in terms of profit and loss.
I'm certainly not an expert in public transportation. I never had any opportunity to look at the books of the former transit company. All I'm saying is this: I know that these people unquestionably had to account to somebody, either stockholders or someone, in terms of dollars. And it seems to me, from what I understood, I don't ride the bus, but I know they don't have bus service where I am able to get it. But I did notice, I thought I noticed, that from time to time, the bus company comes up, we made a big loss. All right, we've got to curtail service, we got to up the rate, or we got to take a bus off here, or make it run less frequent. That's what I was talking about. This, I feel now, is not and should not be a consideration. This is now in the area of public service.
So, John, do you think that then in number one, it's captured in the sense that part of the problem looked at would be to increase the services without the cost now being a consideration, still problem oriented? Does that satisfy you, John, and what's that?
I think he has raised another entirely new issue, myself, about the transition from a privately owned to a publicly owned facility. And in one case, the majority community doesn't need to concern itself with things like this because that's the affairs of the private enterprise system. As soon as it becomes tax-supported, then it becomes my concern and does what the district attorney has suggested. I'm very happy to contribute to support a bus system for the poor or the minority, wherever it is. And I think that involves the citizenry in a way in which they were not involved in a public and a private transportation. That suddenly it becomes a matter of public business about who rides in service and all that, and what my part is, what my relationship is, as a majority member who doesn't ride, who does pay a lot of taxes.
Well, I'd just like to mention one thing, Mr. Allison, that it isn't necessarily the poor or the unprivileged that are riding buses. People are riding buses for convenience.
Right.
You know that.
I understand that. What I'm saying is that I sense in you, and I would think a lot of others in the majority of the community, myself included,
that whereas before, the operation of that bus system and whoever it served and whatever the schedules were, was somehow not related to me because it was private enterprise. Now that it's tax supported, it is related to me.
Right.
And I've got a stake in it, I've got a voice in it somehow, and now it's related to me where those schedules are. I'm saying that in some sense, this must also seep over to the minority community, who also feel because it's public, they also got a stake in it in a way they never had before as well.
I think the difference, Glenn, if I may, and then go back to Jack, what you're saying is that's partly wrapped up in three for the minority.
Yes.
That is that hopelessness you talk about. Now, it seemed to me to be wrapped up in number four for the majority, for this is, I think, the way it would come out.
I want to take one step further. I think that the points made about the transition from private to public services are good points, but I think it's a myth to assume that because it's a public service now that somehow people aren't going to pay any attention to the cost of the service. That there is going to be a much closer scrutiny on the part of the public and the officials who have to run this, what it's going to cost to provide these transit lines in the directions that one would like to see them go. And
well, whether it's a myth or not, do you think that is a significant perception?
I think it's a significant in the sense that for some people in the majority, the fact that there's going to be a public service means that their taxes may be raised.
Right.
And that means that they want to have control over how those buses and how those schedules are set up. And as soon as you think about control, you want to have efficiency. People who are identified with the business sector rather than the socially oriented people. I think that we have a tendency to put people in categories. And this may account to some extent for the kinds of people who eventually are placed on boards to run, agencies.
All right, Kermit,
I'd like to follow this just a little bit here, that I think that it is a myth to assume that because it has turned from private to public, that we may run the risk of being too optimistic that certain things will happen, because there are political overtones and pressures from within the white majority community frame of reference, which may well negate the hope on the minority side here. So I think a recognition of this kind of negativism about our hope here, say on the minority side, there's no assurance whatsoever that on majority side here, just because it is public, this in fact can dissipate. Even because you take your private people could very well have done certain things of which the public is slow to respond to. And really be reactionary to.
All right, George?
I tried saying this as a number five over on the majority side, that the move to public should still have efficient financial management with only a minor cost to me as a taxpayer for some public service beyond what the income pays for. But the impact should be minor. This is as I see.
Right. Should we say efficient, increase in efficiency without increase in taxes as a general
tax? No. I perceive it as a minor increase of tax. I'm willing to accept it could mean a minor increase of taxes.
Okay.
But it would be minor, not a major.
All right, now,
and I
take your whole thought and give it to me so I can put it down now, Joy.
We can write it.
Transition to a public operation should still keep business efficiency with only a minor potential for tax impact.
All right, let's see if we can get it. Retain maximum efficiency, you say?
Right.
Efficiency
with only minor possibility of the tax cost.
I'm going to put likely to capture that.
All right.
Likely increase
tax increase.
Minor tax increase.
Increase.
Tax capture it, Joyce?
That'll do it.
Okay. Now over here, that's already, do we have a parallel? Maybe I shouldn't, so, do we have a parallel over here?
Let me just, I mean, I may be wrong because I don't, I'm not one of those, but I think,
how about that?
I still think I am aware of their thoughts. I believe they want a service because it's needed regardless of the cost.
Well, let's get some minority voices on that. What do you think of parallel? Any minorities? Then we come right back to you, Mayor. Any minorities' reaction on that specifically? Howard Carey?
Well, I would say that perhaps this is essentially true. Carol, I think that they are looking for services, particularly if it is publicly owned, that they deserve services, the best services they can get, regardless of cost. I still think that there are some, of course, who are not complaining about tax increase. But I think perhaps services would be the most important thing because they have definitely actual services, the kind of services that they are seeking.
You're saying regardless, this is not the consideration, major consideration in the minority community.
No,
but more serious to them.
Correct.
Any reaction of Mayor?
No, I was going to say, I think our illustration is one that is unique in any other problem. I don't think we would have the same field to draw from, because in this instance, for instance, the problem solution itself, the number one on the majority side, happens to be number one of the majority of the community, not just the majority community. Because this was actually put to the vote of the people, in which they imposed upon themselves a 10-cent override limit. Now, this has two ramifications. One, they were willing to assume this responsibility, but two, they also assumed a maximum limit. And this was voted on by the majority and the minority community collectively as the majority of the people. How that vote broke down, I don't think anybody will know. But the problem solving was a community. That aspect of it was a total community problem solving function. Now, how this came about in relation to the individual minority person's thinking as he went and put his mark on the ballot, which made that possible, is conjecture, I think. But it's real important, I think, in trying to analyze this particular problem or this particular transit company problem, is that there was a total community majority opinion, which not necessarily the majority community, but the total majority of the community, had reached number one in there, that there shall be this takeover, and it shall have certain limitations on it. Now, what went into making that decision collectively is probably hidden in all of these things you got on the board.
And that would be peculiar then, theoretically, to both of those.
Right.
So therefore, it wouldn't be a perception over here versus a parallel perception here. We would draw a line over here and say this represented both the charge.
Except, Carol, how each side of the minority-majority community did vote because of.
And that may be.
And that may be all of this thing over here and all of this over here, I don't know.
Right. Let me capture then the other one that was mentioned. I'm the parallel to this. And then maybe we should stop, take a break for a minute, and come back, and take it from here and move into the other areas there. What do we do with this now that we've got it? Let's take number five here and get the parallel. Howard mentioned that the minorities are probably concerned that hope is increased without regard to services
increase without regard to.
Okay, services. Then you get that services increase without regard, without major regard, because we have minor, without major regard to cost, to tax.
Carol, that's exactly what I was trying to mention a minute ago. I think that decision has already been made by the total community, and there is a regard. because they set in the decision, I know that this was set so that they only had one choice, but they did set by a vote of the people a maximum amount of subsidy for the system.
Right.
And so they did have a regard for the total cost.
And but that was the citizenry of San Diego. The citizenry of San Diego say, oh, maybe plus 10, plus 12, let's say plus 50 cents somewhere. All of them agreed to this. What we're really looking at is, beyond what everyone has agreed, is there a minority feeling that the period, it should not be their major consideration.
Right.
It's because they voted for 50 because 100 additional. I think that's the point.
Before we break, could we think in terms of, like we do with the last chart, in terms of what is the perception of the vehicle with which these two perceptions are perpetuated, the difference in the two perceptions are perpetuated. For instance, last week we talked about the French as being the major vehicle causing the difference in the perception. May we also think about what causes the difference in the two perceptions this week on this chart?
All right, when we come back, when we look at 4 and 5 and 6 on this, we will move into that. May I suggest, though, that before we break, I'm going to have to erase this now. Do we have it all down, Dax?
I thank you.
You got it. We need someone in the finished form, because to understand the rest of this, we need to put the chart back up now and talk about how do you use this model for action. And we can't do it. We should have another big board here, of course. But we'll need this really to talk about how do you take this and move it into action. Shall we take 10 minutes the most? May I lead off with a couple of remarks, soliloquy for a minute or two? Get two or three other things out of the way. It's been brought to my attention that the meeting in November, if we continue the schedule, will be on the Friday after Thanksgiving, just as today is after yesterday's holiday for some of you, not for all of you. And maybe we should anticipate those days when we were going to run into difficulty. I think it may expedite it, though, if my office simply works up a calendar for the next 2 months, if we at least project it that far. Any changes, of course, can be worked in. But if we work up a calendar and show that that's one of the days, then we can change that from a calendar, and all of us will have that calendar in front of us. I think that's an easier way. So if we extend that to 3 months,
because you'll take in Christmas and New Year's then.
Yes, through the first of the year then, with the whole holiday, so that we can come to grips with that, as opposed to just discussing it now. A map in front of, a calendar in front of us can be more meaningful, I suspect. That's all right. Chair will do that. And the roster, for those that are still here, did everyone sign the roll? The roster?
George, did you sign it?
Yes.
Is it on that end?
Yeah, right.
Is it on that end?
Yeah.
Good. Mayor, did you sign it?
Yeah.
Howard, did you get it?
Yep. Yeah.
Okay. Now, for the soliloquy for a minute or two, it's been mentioned several times, what do you do and where do you go? And do you forever dialogue? Because that plays on the impatience and part of the feeling of the minority, that it's always talk and no action. Yet our basic premise is that unless one talks long enough to know what kind of action is most meaningful, it is likely that the action taken will follow the pattern that we're trying to talk about, namely that it will ignore some of the differential perceptions of the people who feel the problem should be solved with their dissipation. It seems to me we've talked now sufficiently long enough to begin to talk about how do you use this model here to move into action. The model is designed to take care of every possible solution of a problem. I'd like to talk about it for a moment. And this is the model over here again, is on the paper here. These lines here represent something very significant. if we say that the differential is in this area here, that is, the way the majority perceives a common problem and the way the minority perceives that problem is different, but it's a differential as opposed to just a difference. The differential being what we've already defined as accepting as normal the whole institution of discrimination along racial lines. So that's the given. First, then the given is that this represents the definition of racism as accepted here. That's first. Number two, that it's this area here, the difference is the way we see things. Differential is great sometimes, less great sometimes, and sometimes come closer, but always there's a discrepancy or a differential perceiving that problem. And then we go on our way with the solution, which obviously will be again according to our perception, and therefore again we'll come out with different solutions. But the difference in the solution will be again based on the differential of race in some way, not just different, but a differential. Now, if we are to use this model then to talk about how can we reduce both, or maybe up here we cannot reduce that so much yet, but what we can do is recognize that these differences exist, the differentials, and then instead of coming out with solutions that are equally differential and wide apart, we somehow began to talk about bringing solution process together. We call this reducing. This is the inverse of this, as you can see. We start reducing these differences for a solution. Now, this is a singular over here. This is solution. It's very important. And this is a solution. But if we're to solve a common problem, we will have to take into consideration these two opinions, perceptions, and come out with solutions, plural, instead of one now, solutions, which make for considering both of these differences here that we're talking about. So if we can reduce then in terms of action, the directions for those actions, so that we talk about what solutions are now possible instead of one kind of solution, which takes into consideration both the majority and the minority. Now, I want to stop and see if I'm making sense to you first. Comments?
Yeah.
If this is so, then what we should concentrate on now is, according to the sheet here, would be number four, and I'll read them since everyone doesn't have them. What we should be talking about is forgetting this for a moment, because we're still going to have differential perception, but we have to become conscious of it. What we should talk about is how do we start here and take all of these things into consideration and talk about how do you move then toward getting solutions that take into consideration both of these ways of looking at things. We're concentrating in here at this point rather than here, is what I'm saying. The first was the model may be used for defining perceptual differences. We've done that. We've exercised it last week, last meeting, and this meeting. We've also, too, testing minority reactions to specific issues. We've tested them. That was what the exercise was all about. Three, testing majority reactions to the same issues. That's what we were doing. Now, number four is measuring the difference in minority-majority perception of the same issues. We've done some of that. We've begun to measure. Now, we could put it on some kind of scale because this is that measuring. Sometimes we're very far apart. Sometimes we come close. But number five, suggesting specific ways now to work at reducing this difference. That's what I'm talking about down here. And number six, perhaps more important than all of them, is knowing how to ask the right questions now to get at how do you start reducing it. Joe?
If you will allow me to regress for a moment.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. I want to call your attention to something that happened last week concerning the Transit Authority, but which is extremely important in terms of viewing where we are today. And that is, last week, Reverend Oxley brought up a point, and he said, I want to talk about why, when the board was appointed for the Transit Authority, no Negroes were there, or no minorities were appointed to this board. And this comment ruffled a few feathers, and I think Mr. Schaefer got up and began to explain why there were no minorities. And he came up with a point, and the highlight of his whole statement was that we appointed this board because we wanted good administrators. Now, whether or not he realizes, this man was consciously being a racist at that point, because what he was saying is that black people can't be good administrators. And this is a point which is significant in terms of solutions, that we realize that consciously, he didn't intend to be a racist, but because of his context, unconsciously he was being a racist in his approach to black people and what they can do and achieve in this society. Now, if we can see this in that perspective, then I think we'll have a better view of what the solution really is in a case like this.
Hold up, Mike. I know. Hold up, please. Hold up, Mike. George?
Could I only, and I'm trying to not have a further separation take place.
That's why I didn't have Mike speak.
In your previous material, and I'm referring back to number one.
But today?
There was on your board today as number one on the majority side. And I think we identified there that the majority approach was a problem-solving one in which their concern was for identifying those who had previous experience in dealing with this kind of a problem. And it was, I believe, done without conscious attention to race at all. This was my point three that I tried to get on the board. Joe is saying, and it's appropriate that this be sharpened, Joe saw it as this further evidence of a racist attitude by someone in power. And I'm trying to say that I don't believe that was the case. It was only this attention in the problem solving and the use of previously successful people in a given area.
Okay.
Now, if we're talking about the difference in perception, this is a good illustration, but it shouldn't be zeroed in as something wrong with someone that he has given this kind of a response.
Joe's point is not consciously, but being a product of this society, that he did this unconsciously. Unconsciously, he said, what we were looking for was good administrators. Now, to hell, there are black administrators who can do just as good or better than anybody appointed to that board. Now, you may not believe so, but they exist.
Yeah, I think, without letting you defend it, Mike, Joe is simply pointing up the whole need for the dialogue. He's given us an example of the unconscious perception based upon our contextual background to lead to what he's talking about. So you're not on the spot in that set. You don't have to defend it. George further illustrated that today's one-to-one was an expression of what Joe was trying to say. So you're all right, Mike. You don't have to defend it, okay?
Okay.
Well, I would want to refer to minutes because I'm not sure the word administrator was used. It's my recollection that Mr. Schaefer said they were looking for people with substantial financial experience. And in the particular instance of Mr. McKinnon, they wanted someone who had had a substantial experience in Washington. These were two, and I'm not taking any position of justifying the wisdom of them, but I think that there was a certain specification that was rather direct in Mr. Schaefer's remark.
All right, rather than to dwell on the wording per se, let's take the concept that all are projecting and say that's part of what we're here for, and let's move on then with understanding that from our context we're likely to perpetuate a system unconsciously, even though those words might not have been used. Joe perceived a certain thing
it's that perception we're really talking about, even in this room.
Right.
Now, shall we then talk for a moment? We want to talk about what do we do in terms of solutions. Any solutions, more in keeping with how this group sees it, as well as how this group intends a dual problem, a common problem, and it cannot be a solution without regard to the other side, but now solutions, plural, deliberately, so that we can make it meaningful in the community and continue to use either the transit company or the green card holders, since we now have both before us. I will not make that choice. We can. Doesn't matter. Shall we then talk about not what a solution is, that is not the purpose of a model. We talk about those things in our society which make for beginning to find solutions. Let me give an example of what I'm talking about. If we say the solution is to hire more minorities, we've missed the boat. The solution is to say, how do we make the transit company representative of the citizens of San Diego? Now that's different. One way of doing it might be to hire more minorities, bus drivers, managers, etc. Another may be, for example, to call in the press and do an objective study of the problems of the transit company over the past 20 years. Another direction of the solution might be to organize a committee to meet with McKinnon and his board. These are the directions. But if we try to hit a solution, we're in trouble again. And I'm making it sense to you again. That's the purpose of a model. Glenn?
If I understand what you're saying, Carol, is that you're talking about the process by which a solution is arrived at,
correct,
rather than the specific solution itself. And if I were to try and characterize at least part of the problem which I perceive between the majority and minority communities, one of the ingredients which is missing is that there's a certain amount of input which is simply not there. As someone has said, they didn't even consider it. So part of the solution to the problem, it seems to me, that somewhere in the definition and somewhere in the solution of problems, somewhere along there, you've got to get the input from these various segments of the community.
Capture that in a word for me, Glenn. Representative boards?
I don't know what the device is. I'm talking about the process. And the process is that there are so many different ways of doing it, but the process is to get the minority feeling and the minority view within the whole structuring of the problem. Now that can come with a greater sensitivity on the part of the majority community. That's one way, but not certainly the only way. And that also, it seems to me, unless you make direct representation, really says that somebody can really think for somebody else. And that's not totally true. So you've got to have a way to get those sentiments as part of the input.
Right.
So that, what I'm saying is that that's, seems to me, is one of the things which has come out of it.
Okay, that's a good place to start, it seems to me. Let's talk about how do we get this input the way he's talking about.
The consideration for the problem. Broaden the consideration of the problem. And it should be broadened both in the majority mind and the minority mind.
Can you put that in a verbal form? Can you give me an action about that? For example, contact Urban League, CIC, so-and-so, or Black Conference, etc.
Well, I'm trying to avoid this.
No,
right. I understand. I'm with you.
Well,
go ahead.
Well, but that's my point. Simply that one of the things is that you broaden the consideration of the problem. Now, if you want to have sub-points, we are saying that we must involve the minority community and the majority community in this recognition of the broadened problem.
All right. May I try something, George?
Okay.
He said, broaden the consideration of the problem. Can we put that in terms of redefining it?
No.
Leave out part of what he said.
I want it to, in fact, be broader,
broader than that, right? John?
Well, I think that I'm going to think, along with Dr. Hall here, that when you say broaden, and it goes to your sixth point, asking the right questions, is the minority group a consideration in a transit system? This would, in a sense, broaden it, and we'll get the right kind of answers.
Okay, so we're putting it down yet, Mayor?
Carol, I think first, number one item on the board in relation to the problem, the solving of the problem is is the definition of the problem itself. A statement of the problem.
A true representative statement of the problem.
Just a statement of the problem, number one. Because following a statement of the problem would come the next two things in proper sequence, and that would be the minority interpretation of that statement and the majority interpretation of the statement.
Right.
And before you have either of those, you have to have a definition of the problem.
Right.
All right, see if this captures an enough, if not outrageous. Start again. Define the problem, both.
No, just define the problem.
Period.
The
there
is minority and majority.
That's what I was about to say. Both in the majority.
A underneath.
Right.
The minority definition.
Okay.
And B, the majority definition. Now the second phase, and I think somebody's already mentioned this, and would be probably two, is then this compilation or the compiling of all the facts possible which may alter the minority and majority opinion of the problem. Once they're assembled, I don't know.
Data collection. I didn't get the last what something to add to this? I missed it.
All right.
Oh, okay. I saw Tom's hand up and then I saw Johnny's okay now, huh? Tom and then Hamilton.
Well, I don't want to lose sight of the fact that in defining the problem, we are assuming that we have all of the necessary data.
Let's change
that. If we're
going to
follow this line of thought here, we better remember that one is a defining of the problem here, then a data collection, and then three would have to be a redefining of the problem, because I think the data that you collect is going to change that.
Right. Let's change that. Change the word define to a statement of.
And then
they're finding the problem underneath it. Yeah.
I think that's getting to get at it.
Okay.
You have a statement of the problem first. It may be right or it may be wrong. It may be fallacious. Who knows? But you have a statement.
Now, data collection, then we should read immediately to redefine the problem.
Redefine the problem.
Well, there'll be somewhere in here, though, there's going to be a difference on how the data is interpreted.
That's
well, maybe we're going to get to that down here.
Okay.
I think we're going to get to that.
Of data.
Oh, finish up, Tom, then?
Well, there's one point I'd like to make under 2A, if you would. I'd like to make sure that we talk about comprehensive data collection to make sure that everybody who should have an input makes the input.
Right. I think then we could just make the whole thing, couldn't we? Comprehensive
input, I think, would probably get at it.
I'll use both of those words and input of data.
Well, that means the facts we're talking about, aren't we?
Well, there are other kinds of data sometimes that, like interpretation.
Right. In that connection of being comprehensive, what I'm talking about is making sure that this data includes the militant minority viewpoint as well as everybody else.
Comprehensive is the key word.
Yeah.
Now we should redefine, and I'm going to do it this way, redefinition of a problem.
I think you'd want to restructure the policy-making board. Restructure the policy-maker.
All right. You want that as the next one here, or Tom?
I can see getting to that point, but I think that's an intermediate step. And if we are talking about the confrontation here, that definition of the problem would be, it seems to me, what should the qualifications of a board be?
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that the thing that we're really disagreeing about?
Right.
That would be.
That's the bone of contention between my position and Joe.
I'm kind of hung up on that.
Wait a minute, Jack. Tom, you finish.
Thank you, John.
You
too.
Okay.
Oh,
is that you finished?
Yeah.
John?
Yeah, I'm kind of hung up on two because I think San Diego has been a perfect example that up to this point, it's impossible to have a comprehensive input or output of data. this group may get a comprehensive input of data, but it's never disseminated to the total community. For instance, green cards. We have public officials taking stands, making statements about green carders that they don't even know what they are.
What
and this,
say
this is not only on the local level, it goes up to the state level. So we're hung up right there because that is not valid. We don't really get a comprehensive dissemination or input or output of data.
This is to indicate that we ought to be doing it, though.
Right.
Now, I think you have another element in there, if I may suggest something. Maybe it ought to be comprehensive input of data by the group involved or something. Tom?
Let me suggest, if you were to write, well, you've got one, if you were to write the specific problem that we're dealing with here, and so we won't keep going back to a lot of different ones,
mm-hmm.
and you're talking about qualifications of board members, and you're looking at it from the point of view, A, of the minority, who thinks that one of the qualifications ought to be that somewhere on the board should be representation of the entire population, the point of view of the majority being that the qualifications should be as they were set up by LACNIC for. Explain to me what kind of input, what kind of collection of data you're going to bring together that will throw some light on that.
Reactions?
This is what...
All right, let's call this thing with board members.
Yeah. What kind of data would you gather?
I
would suggest that there would be comprehension of sort of factual data. In other words, are there any minority people on the board? Yes or no, that's a fact. Are there any minority people who are working for the transit company? That's a fact. Nobody, this isn't something you interpret. It's either yes or no.
But I think we would get into a bind.
Determine whether or not there's a good reason for this later on in the redefinition.
Well, one of the peculiar things about this model is that even though it's not an objective fact, the perceptions here are still data and facts, though they may be invalid. For example, it may be true that there are 15 Negroes working for the transit company.
Yeah, you have left the question. The question is the board.
No, I was answering him.
We ought to stick with one problem. The question is the qualifications for the board. Let's not talk about drivers and all that. And we disagree because Joe thinks there ought to be representatives of Negroes or minorities. Mike thinks they ought to be selected on the basis of something else. Now, after you, the one fact that I know that you can get is there are none on it.
Right.
Yeah. Now, after that, and those two positions, I'm asking you, what other data could you talk together?
Why?
Okay.
You could ask why, and then mind explain that by saying we got the best.
Well, we already said that.
Money people.
Your two positions. But how can you do that? And what else?
Whatever.
No other data can be gathered.
All right. You would suggest what then, Matt? What do you suggest?
Whatever resolution you're going to get, you're going to have to answer the question that Mike is raising and that Joe is raising, and that is racial representation relevant to efficient management or whatever management there is?
All right, what would you suggest? That we change one or we put a four down here?
No, I have no suggestion.
No, but I think your point is well taken. John?
No, I think Tom is hitting it right on the nose, except that he may be narrow in it a little bit. I think that the concept, at least of one person, but that we also have a broad statement of the problem encompassing not only the management but all the others.
And any company at all.
He may be suggesting that,
but right.
Let's do it one by one.
Yes, right.
Do we then have any agreement that the statement
I'm trying to answer Tom's question. I think you hinted at it and then you moved away. The concern or perception of the minority that this is an issue needs to be brought in as part of the data that is under consideration.
That's what I was about to put here. Now, can we, you want to add that, George and Glenn, you want to add it?
Now, it seems to me that it's got to be part of the statement of the problem. That is, it has already got to be in the very statement of the problem acknowledged that the factor of race is a consideration of considerable import.
I would suggest, Glenn, that's going to come down here. Let's assume that if we do the statement of the problem regularly, the way we put out is, let's state the problem, for example. There are
the company works beautifully and so forth. But suppose you collect some kind of data to indicate factual that there are no Negroes, no Mexican Americans, then we're going to have to redefine it and issue another statement. And I think this is what George is issuing here, that we then have to look at it and say, this is a beautiful statement of the problem, but now we've collected something, we're going to have to redefine it.
What I'm saying is that you don't, when you say statement of the problem, that statement must include, if you're going to deal with the element of racism, must deal in its very statement acknowledging that the factors of racism have already been considered in that problem. Now, you may redefine it and refine it later on. When you state the problem, you've got to say, we're going to set up a bus system, we're going to take over a bus system, and one of the factors in the administration of this is race, and we're going to deal with that one way or the other, and put it to one side as a statement of the problem.
I think even before the statement of the problem should be a statement to the effect that there is no problem that can be separated from consideration of race.
At least in the eyes of minority.
Back at the point where we originally got hung up on the thing, I thought that was settled. The fact is that everything going on has racial overtones, and unless we take that into consideration before anything else, well, we're biting off the wrong log or whatever.
This will not cover it, you're saying?
No.
Before number one. Okay, Tom?
I think you ought to go back before number one, before we talk about a model, before we talk about anything else, and get at the fact that the meetings that are held here must go under a certain basic premise. And this basic premise must include certain assumptions. And one of the assumptions is, and probably number one is, that everything that is discussed here presupposes that we're talking from a racial basis.
We've already done that.
All right. But I think there ought to be a sign up here. We are.
Slip out of
well, let's put this over here. This is the definition of what we have all agreed
right.
is.
I like that.
Let's say it's in the framework of racism.
Right.
Good enough? That is what we've agreed is the definition of that. And we discussed it for hours. So we're with you.
Right.
Everything we do here, that's the only reason we have our being here.
Okay.
Now, we were talking about going back before this. Before this assault, I'm going to erase this since I don't have any space. What shall be before this? Mary, you want to try?
I just think something like recognition that every problem has racial overtones or that racial considerations should be taken into attacking any problem. Before you can say the problem, you have to recognize that it's not an isolated problem, that there are racial overtones in any problem.
See if I can put your words down. All problems have racial overtones? All problems must consider race? Somebody want to try it?
I
don't like the word all.
I
just don't believe that word exists. All. I said many.
Most?
Most.
How about 99.9%?
That's
to the majority.
Everyone, we're trying to make that an assumption, so this will already be understood.
Mm-hmm. It comes out of the racism thing that that many problems have racial overtones.
I think it's already assumed in your first diagram that racism is the topic we're talking about. You have a model now. What's the first step? A statement of a problem. What's the problem? Spell it out.
In terms of that's what I was saying earlier, but are we agreed now? The whole thing is in this model of racism.
Right.
Everything we're talking about is black and white, brown and yellow, or any way you want to spell it out.
And
that
red.
Is the given again.
And red.
And red. Now, is this the so? Do we want to state it again then?
No.
What is the general given?
That's assumed.
Okay, then we go back to this is the first one?
Right.
In terms of racism.
Of racism, right. Since we're dealing only with that. So, Mary, we're going to just start again here. Okay, right. And you had the first statement up there anyway. Relate.
I'm bothered by this because it seems to me, you know, this is an attempt to diagram a scientific method, a statement of the problem, accumulating the facts, defining the problem, and then solving the problem. But some of these things are impossibilities, at least right now. And I
what
think
is, that, John?
For instance, being able to get a comprehensive accumulation of facts and being able to disseminate them.
Why is that an impossibility? What do you mean? Tell us what you
know.
Mean.
You know what I mean. You're just priming me. The point. The point is that. The point is with the type of managed news we have, both in the press and in the media, we don't get out what the problems are. Well, George,
why don't you put that somewhere down here then,
okay.
As a specific. You see what I'm trying to drive at?
Yeah, I see what you're trying to drive at, but the point is that we're assuming that we can get this comprehensive accumulation of data, and we can't right now. And
I'm
even
not following you when you say you can't. And I'm not sure everybody else is.
Comprehensive input of data is not the same thing as comprehensive dissemination of information.
Right? Yeah, right. We're talking about two different things.
Input. Now, well, then.
Now, the output is going to come somewhere else, John, if you want. If you want to say an output, or you want to come down here to a separate category and talk about the press, that is, the newspapers, the radio, the television, news releases, and all this.
One of those possible solutions might be that very.
Okay, now where
right.
does this input go? We're talking about an input of data. What are we putting it into?
You want to say to the particular board involved, a particular company,
okay.
a particular concern?
No.
But you think you're going to ruin something here, John.
Solution.
Yeah.
Into the group that has
to the group.
The group that's handling the problem.
Yeah, into the input of information.
Okay.
You say it has to be.
I misunderstood it.
Okay. You say now that really covers it if you want to leave.
Yeah, I got it.
Hamilton, sir.
It seems to me that there's very adequate data available, but the crux of this thing was brought out when Mr. Kager explained our specifications to the board. They specified a board of substantial financial experience plus a Washington experience. They gave themselves a very, very narrow board for a project which was of extraordinary breadth in the community. The board, with the best of intentions, was picked for one very narrow qualification, which it seems to me was inadequate, and no matter how comprehensive your data is, and it very likely is very comprehensive, it is being examined by a group of accountants.
All right, then let's keep going for a moment and we get off the dime. I see what part of the problem is. Let's keep going. We'll get to your point. For example, I'll just say that what he said is a narrow definition of qualifications, or whatever way you want to put it. These are separate things that we ought to keep listing until we can derive at it. These are separate points I'm trying to say. Joe?
I think another thing that we might be hung up on is actually we're making a model. I think we should put what we're talking about really on the board.
This is the...
I'm saying where you have statement of the problem, we should state the problem.
No, not for this. I mean, we're not looking at what the problem is. We're not making
no,
it.
No, you're talking about the board. The board. I think this is something Mac was talking about. If we're talking about what the minority is, write what it is. What the majority is, write what it is.
I'm not
and
quite
we develop wrong. It that way rather than as a model or frame. That
but
we
then
we
get,
into, no,
we get into a bind if we put specifics down that way. Now, the next ought to be take a problem and do some of these things, I'm saying. We ought to take the transit company next week or 2 weeks from now. Use this and spell it out.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? If we don't, if we're not careful, we're going to get into a bind. That's why we use a model. Just like we exercise our today, the first part was an exercise. Next week, we should take this part of it, the solution, and exercise in here and come out with specific things to be recommended or be taken or what have you.
Can we do anything, though, actually, until we look at what causes this gap?
That's what we're doing. That's what this is.
But that is a vehicle, or whatever it may be, that causes this differential perception.
Yeah, but let's keep going. I think we'll see it here. We don't want to get hung up. We'll see how you use it. Let's keep going from it. For example, the press, the media, and all that's got to come in somewhere. Then we can see, I think, where we're going. Joe?
I've got to go, but can I make a quick statement?
Yeah.
What was it, the heading that you originally had before you erased it? Do you know?
We'll get it for you with our efficient secretary.
Suggested direction for solutions.
Okay, this is attacking a what is generally called a functional problem, but back when we originally started this approach, there was what was called a question before the question. This is attacking the question, but I think that if we're talking about solution, you see, this is a partial solution, but a lasting solution would have to not only take in functional things, but take in the question before the question, which is racial.
Give me a number. That's it. That's the idea. Give me a number.
No, it's not fair.
You see, that's the idea. Give me a number, Joe. Before you go.
Well, this is just to say that after we have done what is functional, then we should attack the thing that makes our existence here necessary, and that is to change the minds of the people who have negative racial
give me a suggestion, Joe. That's what we want over there. We might have to keep working at it. That's the idea.
This would be something like
the Brotherhood concept.
Brotherhood concept operation.
I'm going to put it down, since you're leaving, as just a Brotherhood concept. And
that's still a vehicle, both sides. It's a vehicle to bring a solution together. But we still got to talk about the vehicle that caused the gap.
Now, we're going to be in the line.
Both ways.
You can't work up here and down here at the same time.
Okay, they're in the vehicle in both areas.
Yeah, but I'm saying you can't work up here and down here.
Okay, we haven't finished our plan.
You can't work up here, Joe, and down here at the same time.
We haven't worked up there. We haven't finished.
Well, let's keep over here for a while, and I think you'll see that you have to go to the action in order to get back at whatever started the problem.
Okay.
So let's not get hung up on that.
Because I'm still in perception.
I'm following your reasoning now. It seems to me that in your redefinition, would it be our attempt at this point to bring some sort of consensus between what was originally opposed to
right.
In other words, now that the majority knows how we feel about it, are they willing?
Right.
Now that we know how they feel, are we willing? Can you get some sort of consensus?
Can you call that mutual agreement now on?
Some sort of common definition of the problem,
okay.
Which will be different from the way each group defined it.
Right. Give me the wording again.
Isn't this broadening participation?
No, not exactly. What he's saying is, we all might now have gone through redefining the problem and all of this. We could still accept them out here like this. Somehow we're going to have to come and say, these are stipulated that we all agree on now, and now let's work it back and forget all the other things.
Well, wasn't this part of the redefinition of the problem?
And that's what I'm suggesting.
Yeah.
It is the redefinition consists of the majority taking into account what the minority definition is, and at the same time, the minority taking into account what the majority's definition is, so that a redefinition
is a consensual definition.
And of a problem, a common problem, and from there we can go on towards that.
Is this captured enough? Maybe this shouldn't be
I think consensual is better than common agreement.
Yeah,
consensual definition doesn't mean that you necessarily agree on a good many things, but by consensus, certain things as a working basis for a problem. So consensual agreement.
Agreement would be better. Consensual agreement, that's still better.
All right.
That captures the idea.
On definition.
On the definition.
If we'll keep in mind, and I think I really think it's very crucial here, if you keep in mind that at that step you have got to be insisting that both sides will look at what the other side
right.
Can.
You want to put it that
one way, you're not going to get too far.
Mm-hmm. Will that captured here? Shall we add?
I think so. I think that
to
keep in mind.
That should be a semicolon. We make that colon here, then, and just continue down there. Now, John, what do you want to put down? We only got a couple more minutes in terms of what you were talking about, this collection and output and so forth.
Well, I see where I was wrong. It's not quite as bad. I just didn't understand.
Okay. Yeah, we ought to go on with this a while and then fight about it next time, because I think we'll have everything in there.
It would appear to me that the next two items that go in sequence then would be a change if required.
Of approaches, of solutions?
Change, whatever the change might be, either to... In other words, after having had a redefinition of the problem and a consensus agreement, does it necessitate a change? Mm-hmm. If it does, then it is required. And I say change, parentheses, if required, because if there is agreement that the racism, for instance, in this case, if racism, after you analyze all the factors that go into your data input, prove to the group that racism was not a factor in making that specific determination or should have been, then it wouldn't be necessary to make a change. If they prove otherwise, then a change would be necessary.
And just make it necessary.
Right. That's if you're talking about problem solving.
Yes.
Now the next one in order, and I think this ties right into the remark that was made here, and that is the dissemination of that information.
Right. Is anyone John, does that cover your point too? Dissemination of information. Of that information. Of all information. Of all pertinent information.
This involves your media and media, all other sources.
Right.
It's actually a restatement of position or whatever you want to call it.
Now, maybe we should spell out now, John, what was your consideration of cracks?
Mm-hmm. And the
new
all
media.
All the mass media.
All right. Tommy, got to go.
I'm sorry. I'm going to have to go. You make it vehicles to be used for that consideration.
A on the side.
Vehicle. I don't care what that is.
Have leadership statements on both sides of
right.
The ledger.
You're
going
to have
media.
You're
going
to have
a lot of things.
Okay.
Because it's going to be determined again through perception which vehicles are affected.
All vehicles that are public media. I think that covers. The time is going to run out shortly. May I make a couple of observations? Obviously, we haven't covered all of them, but it seems to me we're covering most of them. Is there any disagreement to then taking, at your suggestion, if you would suggest one of these specific ones, we've talked about the green card holders and the transit company as examples for modeling. Shall we use one of those or choose another one and use this now at the next meeting and work out what ought to be done in terms of specifics, changing it now deliberately, forgetting now the monolith stuff. That is this model over here. And start with actions. We've given suggestions of the direction. These are only directions here. Can we use this next time and go into what ought to be done in terms of action, John?
Carol, I think it would be excellent if we remain on a transit system.
Sure.
Not only is it a contemporary problem, at least contemporary concern, but we've worked at it a long time and pretty well, and it would be a good general example for us to follow from here on.
Any disagreements or other suggestions? All right, we shall talk.
May it occur, yes, this last week, that if we decide to discuss a specific area,
right.
That we should notify those people who are
right.
Concerned in that area. And now that we are no longer talking about models,
right.
I think we should specifically invite people who would
right.
Who would be
involved in this.
Yeah.
Right. We have one problem of time. It's only 2 weeks away. Do you think that's sufficient
well,
time?
Sure.
That if we
sure.
Have an invitation
oh,
today
sure.
Or Monday?
Yeah. Sure.
Okay. Sufficient time?
Right.
We shall invite Ms. McKinnon and others that may be suggested in terms of the board, et cetera. Ask them to bring facts or at least all their information.
But the city council, because they made the appointment.
Right.
The labor unions, because they are involved.
Okay. We shall get all the people involved in that. The mayor?
I'm just wondering, John, the labor unions, if we're talking about the board, if we're talking about the composition of the board as one statement of problem, then probably the labor unions would be involved.
Oh,
if you're getting to the functions of the
employment
of the transit company itself, its actual functions and problems, and I would see a whole series of statements of problems rather than just one. Then you would want Tom Pryor, who is the administrator, and you would want labor, you would want the board, their board, not the council, because the council is not making those decisions. But the council did make the decision on the election of the board. Now, when you, if you get over that hump, then you go to the next one, and it would be their board who is making.
Okay, then next week, for the next one, then we should look at the two levels he's talking about. If we're zeroing in on the one level next week, we would not need a labor per se.
Right.
We'd need the city council
and
the McKinnon, I suppose, and who else?
Whoever.
What we can find out. We need the board level, we're saying, and the decision makers of that board, am I correct?
Right.
Not the labor per se is operating.
May I make one suggestion on this, in relation to this? If you're going to discuss the appointment of the board, the appointees to the board, become involved in the personalities of the individuals you appoint.
No,
I would suggest, no, you automatically are going to. You can't help it. I would suggest that the board members themselves not be included next week, but rather the council or the people who made the decision to create the board. And the reason I say that is, irrespective of what comes from that meeting next week, when you start talking about the management of the transit system itself, then you'll want to talk to those people in light of they are the board, not whether they should have been or not.
Yeah, what you're saying is the process by which they were selected. And that's what we should zero in on, because the others are going to have to be here for the other function. Tom?
I don't know whether I can word this very well, but I want to suggest that this group always be oriented and focused on what can be done, and that we never let ourselves get in the position of making a critical whipping somebody about what has been done. I think this is not functional.
Right. This
That's
is good
always
part,
we're
yeah.
talking about problem solving. What
right.
can we do now?
Right.
Is the thing that we're talking about. Not
right.
why did you do that?
Yes.
Mm.
What solutions can we arrive at?
Yeah.
The action.
Yeah.
Sure. A question that probably is not very intelligent, but if the reference was just made, we're going to determine a process by which the board is elected. Is it entirely fair, is it conducive to our best objective judgment, to have racism at the top, assuming that race entered into everything as we start in this particular association? I mean, are we starting out with some type of a prejudicial viewpoint here that's going to be difficult to overcome? If we're going to look at it objectively, how is it? In other words, it'd be the same thing, but whether it's decided as far as sex, male or female.
Mm-hmm.
So, as I say, that's probably a question that's not particularly intelligent, but I am concerned about that. That we're assuming, taking a definite position about it, and not being able to evaluate correctly the validity of the process of selection.
Mayor?
I think this is the crux of exactly what we're talking about. The problem has been raised by Mr. Vinson, raised the question that the board should not have been constituted as it is because, in his opinion, it should have included a Negro or other minorities because of racism. Well, now, my observation of the board selection, or my personal recollection, is that racism, at least in the minds of those of us who were responsible, had no part to play.
Well,
but until we prove, or no, I won't say prove, but until we test it to this thing and put together all the input that we talk about in two here and lay it on the table so that everybody looks at it in light of what we thought was the original selection, maybe it'll change Vincent's mind, maybe it won't.
Well, Frank, that's all I would suggest
yeah.
is instead of saying racism, possibly, was it racism? I mean, I just think to leave some area of...
Now, what we want to assume, though, is it seems to me that we have been talking for a series of meetings in terms of our society that we have accepted as a starting point of a racism-oriented society.
then I think we can make that clear enough so that we don't seem to be hung up now, it seems to me.
All right,
with
well,
the,
fine.
Yeah, I think we're over that hump is all I'm saying, Mr. Kelsey.
Now, I'd like to ask, are you going to limit ourselves to using this process for just the board, or can we bring every level also for the drivers, for the roofs of the bus and everything?
Every level.
Kermit, when we get down into the next, if the next problem is another statement of problem, that there are no Negro bus drivers, if that's the statement of problem, and it has racial overtone, that's what we're assuming, you know, then we attack it on the basis of the same thing, the minority's opinion, the majority's opinion, and then we get down into compiling the information, and it's
all over again. Well, now, when we get to the drivers, for instance, one of the new data parts is, do we have qualified minorities?
Well, that will be
that
will be
tested from the Department of Labor here.
This yeah, is that's what he was saying earlier. When we get to that, we would invite a different group.
Who will have to make the input?
Yeah, the input.
I don't know. I don't even know where they have any. They may.
Did you follow him now? You're saying that next week will be board.
We're going to just do the board next time.
Yeah, the process of board, not operation. Management is what we, I mean, the choice of management. So.
The question, and question to be asked, or the question that has been asked by Mr. Vincent, in essence, has been, did you select a board anti-racial?
That's whether it's conscious or unconscious.
Right. Consciously or otherwise.
Right.
Did you?
That's what we're going to try to answer. Now, we yeah. get to the drivers and that, then we'll bring in the other people.
Yeah, well, it takes the whole morning to satisfy this question on the board.
Probably.
It may take three mornings because minorities are going to be here, and that's the purpose of this dialogue. It may take a month. Mm. It may take a year, really. But we have to say that it's important enough to get at it.
Well, I think it's important, but I think these other things are too. And while you have all these people here, I thought perhaps you could bring up these other examples or make a study along. At least
maybe they might be related to the board. Yeah, maybe related to the board, and I suspect we'll have them all on the board one time or another to get at it, but we have to start at it. Last statement.
One thing I think we need to consider before we leave, is there a more effective means of getting the council that has been exercised or used in the past? It seems as though we still aren't getting like we'd like to, other than this invitation. How can we say we want all the members of the council here present? Period.
Yeah, that's right.
That they will then respond.
Exactly.
I think that when you define what your area of concern is next week, you won't have nearly so much trouble getting the council here.
Well, does this conflict with anything?
Well, it really is questioning that appointment.
Yes, when it's clear that what
we're going
to be talking about is
the board's appointment. Joel, I think you have a couple, and I'm not trying to protect the council in any sense of the word, but I think you have to be a little bit realistic. That the bulk of us who are sitting around here today, this is our 24-hour bread and butter sort of thing. We're all living this problem. This is it. And this is no reflection on the council, except that they do have other things to do. And so it's going to be difficult to pin them down to a specific time. The most of the people who are here today are here by grace of their job. And that's not true, would not be true of the council. And so to assume that we're just going to say all of them have to be here at every meeting and make it sick is not going to work.
No, we're not saying that. I think for this
specific one.
How can we pin it down?
This specific one, I think we can summon them, as the committee can summon them to come in and discuss the appointment. And that's the problem. Here's the statement of the problem. We want you to come and discuss with us this specific problem.
And maybe some of us can get a chance to sit down and talk with one or two of them.
That's what I was thinking about the mayor and the other people would reinforce this invitation.
Well,
and the
short of a broken leg or something, I expect to be here, but I can't guarantee.
But you might, you know, what you think.
I have put the
make your request. No.
All right, then we shall attempt to get them here next week. I mean, 2 weeks from now. The meeting will be 2 weeks from now, at which you have a calendar, and we can project. Thank you again.
Hey, friend.
Friend.
Yeah.
There we go.